As we grow up, most of us learn to distinguish what we call race, the set of visual and cultural cues we use to categorize people. Of course, race is, given our overall genetic diversity, a construct that we as humans have invented. But just because we invented it doesn't mean it isn't real. The way we think about race has shaped history, laws, dating and marriage, religion, the economy, just to name a few. But what about kids? How do they learn race and live race? A little bit later, we'll talk to an anthropologist who's working with teachers to help kids understand race. But first, we meet the mother of a preschooler and a toddler. Claire Jefferson Glipa joins me now. Claire, welcome.
Thank you.
So how did your daughter first discover, and we're talking about your preschooler, that she was Black and that it would shape her life in some way?
The first time she noticed that she was of brown skin in preschool was when her teacher asked her to draw a picture of herself and was given a white piece of paper and the standard color of crayons, just one shade of black, a shade of brown, and then red, yellow, green, and orange. And she realized there wasn't a color that represented her. She's more of a caramely mocha color, and that color just didn't represent her. So it was our first real discussion about what her skin looked like.
Now, when you talk to her, how sophisticated can you be at this stage in time? Because, you know, we have different realizations at different ages, and we have different language skills at different ages. So give me an example. If I were your daughter and I asked a question about why is this person looking like this and why is that person looking like that, what would you tell me?
Well, we are a family of faith, and so I use the term God in our home. And so I would tell her that, you know, God made you a beautiful color. He decided that you need to be a perfect brown, and so he mixed a little red, a little yellow, a little purple, and I would use it as we are working with maybe finger paints or something to create her particular color and talk about it in a celebratory way of how excited I was to have her and how excited God was to create her special color of brown.
Do you find that she has questions at this point, particularly about kids her age?
Definitely. I think for her, especially being a girl, right now Disney is huge in our society, and there are no princesses that look like her. So our largest conversations are around why she doesn't look like a princess, which is very sad. All of her friends, their backpacks, their clothing, their toys are all this wonderful representation of beauty that excludes her. And so it causes us to have that conversation quite often.
So when you're faced with that, how do you react? What kind of toys do you buy? What kind of messaging do you... You've talked about how you talk to her about how she's a child of God, but what else do you tell her in that context?
Well, first, we work really hard in our home to only have toys, books, and things that represent her. So in our home, we actually don't do Disney at all because of her exclusion. But what I do is we have wonderful discussions about princesses that really do exist. Princesses from Africa, princesses of Egypt, Zimbabwe, different actual ethnic princesses that exist. I find pictures of them, and we talk about how beautiful those real princesses are and what make them princesses are their power and not necessarily just what they look like.
How's what she's doing or going through different from the way that you faced these moments of awareness as a child yourself?
Well, I think the one exciting thing about this time is that things are available. I know when I was young, there were very few African-American Barbies even. I remember when the first African-American Barbie came out. I remember the first African-American Cabbage Patch Kid. And so there was those few things that we can cling to. Now there's a wealth of literature that I really can create a perfect world for her, at least in our home, of books and toys and media that she can see herself in and be excited about.
Do you ever worry, and this is something that many parents have to deal with, that you're creating a perfect world, and when she leaves that perfect world, she won't be prepared?
Well, I do, and that is the reason why I think I have the perfect world, so that her first feelings of herself are that there is nothing wrong with her and that she's perfect. As we begin, like as we start preschool and we're getting ready to start kindergarten, I do realize that we will begin having those conversations, and my hope and prayer is that that solid foundation that she has from her perfect world at home will allow her to combat whatever she comes up against in the world.
Later in our show, we're going to do our weekly letter segment, and we got someone who talked about Barack Obama in the context of being biracial. And the whole concept of biracial identity has become much more profound in recent years. Mm-hmm. How do you give words to your daughter about what or who she is?
Absolutely. I talk about my biggest conversations with her about all the parts of her and how it's just a perfect, beautiful mix that God created just for her that make her an amazing contribution to society. And without one piece of her, she would not be who she was. And so I think there's easy ways to just incorporate all of whatever a person, whether a child is African American and Caucasian or even Asian and Caucasian or whatever mix that child is, there are wonderful words that you can use to make sure that they embrace all of who they are.
Well, Claire, we're going to bring another person into the conversation. Just to remind everybody, Claire Jefferson Glipa is the mother of a 4.5-year-old child, also a toddler, and she's a former teacher. Now joining us, we've got Yolanda Moses. She's Vice Provost for Diversity and Conflict Resolution and Professor of Anthropology at the University of California at Riverside. She is also the chair of a new project by the American Anthropological Association, which aims to help educators teach about race. Hi, Yolanda.
Hello.
So what do you think about the strategies Claire has? You know, what stands out to you?
Oh, I think Claire is just spot on. She is socializing her child to understand who she is in the context of a world that doesn't always recognize color in a positive way. And so because children are aware of who they are at, 4 or 5 years old, it is important for them to have this positive self-concept because they will be encountering in their lives many, many examples that are not positive.
What do you think teachers can do, Yolanda, to help parents like Claire? Now, Claire happens to be a teacher herself,
right.
But what about, when you go into the classroom, every teacher's different, just like every person's different.
Right.
How should parents deal with teachers in schools?
Well, teachers are people themselves, and they are raised as well. We are all raised, socially raised. So sometimes the teachers don't know how to talk about the issue, even if they were well-meaning. They're not trained to talk about the issue, which is what our project gets at. That is an understanding of what race is and how to talk to students about race and have them engage in it. There's also the fear factor. Many people, teachers are afraid they may say the wrong thing, so they say nothing. But that silence goes a long way in sending messages to the children that either it's not important or it's off limits. And what we're trying to do is to change that it has to be engaged. It's a subject, as Claire has said, that is as normal as breathing, having students understand who they are.
Claire, you're a former teacher. When you were teaching, what did you do with your students?
Well, with my students, I taught sixth grade, so they can have quite a large vocabulary and discussion. We had a time where each student brought in not only things that represented their culture and their family, but we created a family tree as much as they could. And we had open discussions about what that meant for them each to be different, where they came from, even among African-American students, whether their family came from the North or South or actually immigrated from Africa itself.
Do you think that the kids appreciated that? I mean, regardless of what they got, and I'm sure they got a lot, do you think that they were like, oh, why are we talking about this? Or were they excited?
Well, sixth graders in and of themselves roll their eyes on a regular basis. So, I mean, anytime you introduce any subject. But what I did love is that it began a discussion on the playground. And that is where you know you have really hit a core with your students when you walk past them and there is no adult and they're still continuing the conversation on their own autonomously.
Yolanda, how can you avoid being preachy about this in a way that kids tune out?
Well, I think if we understand that there are many dimensions to this thing we call race, we can make it a part of the educational process. That is, because it is a human invention, we can talk about that. Because it's been a part of the history of this country, we can talk about it as a history topic. And because we are biological beings, we can also talk about it as biology. So it isn't as though it sits off to the side and we only bring it in when we have to talk about these uncomfortable things, but we make it a part of how students learn to be in the world and to be a part of the world, the history as well as the biology as well as what's happening socially. And then you engage them by having them bring in their own experiences.
Claire, what's your greatest fear and your greatest hope? Just quickly, I know it's a big question for your kids.
I think my greatest fear is that my children will not stand in themselves and be proud of who they are and who they were created to be. My greatest hope is that they will be exactly who they choose to be, excited about what they look like, what they think like, and how they act.
Well, Yolanda, you're going to stay with us after our break. And Claire, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Claire Jefferson Glipa is the mother of a 4.5-year-old child and a toddler, and she's a former teacher. She lives in Riverside, California, and Yolanda Moses is Vice Provost for Diversity and Conflict Resolution at the University of California at Riverside. After the break, we're going to ask Yolanda about a big project she's working on. And next on News and Notes, more tips on how to talk to children about race, and our very own Tony Cox brings us the latest from the NBA Finals with New York Times columnist Bill Roden.